I believe it is true for all of us here willing to look back on our lives with some honesty and some humor and recognize that when it came to rules and laws, we've pushed the boundaries. I can remember a confrontation with my father over my first car, which he did not want me to have. I suffered many deprivations until I saved enough money to buy the most ridiculous old jalopy, which he then forbade me to park in the driveway because it leaked more oil than burned gasoline. The imposed rule was that I could only drive it to school and back, no cruising on 16th Street, and no passengers. So when I passed him, going at about 45 miles an hour on a 35-mile speed zone on 16th Street with eight of my classmates in the car, there was a problem. I considered the rules an infringement on my freedom and a public declaration that I was irresponsible and a danger to others. Then I moved on to the seminary and discovered a whole community of rules and regulations beyond count. There was an even greater struggle over limitations and boundaries and interpretations and the fine points of the language. We had to wear cassocks if we ever stepped out of our room. The rule didn't say what you wore under the cassock. And in the opening weeks of the school year, it was hot in those things. The monks didn't take kindly to bare legs showing when we walked in the wind or genuflected in the chapel. What I now see about those days is that I was determined to get away with all that I could. My father and I had no common values then. While I wanted absolute freedom to do whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, he wanted me to be safe and perhaps live long enough to perhaps have a son like the one he had. Those monks had a value of respect and devotion with a sensitivity to gentlemanly behavior. We just wanted to see how much we could get away with. Conformity, unity, and mutual respect were a long way from the minds of those 20-year-olds. We ought not to pretend that we've grown up and gotten over it either. There isn't anyone in here who doesn't keep an eye out for a police car or drive just about 78 miles an hour on I-75 when it says 70, or push on that accelerator when the light turns yellow. And we hire professionals to find loopholes, and we admire people who don't exactly cheat on their taxes, but they cut every corner and find every conceivable way to pay the lease. No matter what the issue or the situation, that urge to have our freedom to do what we want is always there. Our attitude toward the law depends on the reasons we see for it and our feelings towards those who formulate the laws. On one level of obedience, there is conformity to avoid punishment, which is purely egoistic. The only reason to follow the law is to stay out of trouble. When the punishment or the risk of being caught is slight, then there's no motivation for observing the law. So the lawgiver then must make sure that the cost of disobedience is greater enough to ensure compliance. I notice that too many of our young people today get more upset over being caught than they do over the truth that they were doing wrong. They spend more time and energy trying to figure out how to not get caught than simply just being obedient. Today's readings speak about a different appreciation for God's law. And Jesus speaks to that again today, just as he did before his apostles. In that book of Sirach, a collection of Jewish wisdom, it is said that obedience to God's law leads to genuine quality of life. The law then turns out to be more revelation than a demand. And as the psalm we just sang says, God's law offers us a pathway to a life full of blessing. What Jesus proposes is that the law is a guide that shows us the way to a life full of blessing. Jesus applies this wisdom every day to the relationships of people living together in community. And it's just as true today as it was the first time he spoke. Anger, which leads us to demean another, comes from the same root as Cain's murder of his brother. And if you remember, that murder happened in the context of making an offering to God. So he says, if you're getting ready to go to the altar, no anger here. So if we can't figure out how to make peace among ourselves, we will start taking one another to court and end up in prison by our own system of retribution. This isn't working. When he talks about relationships between the sexes, Jesus avoids judging the picky details and simply demands true reverence for every person made in God's image. He points out that cultivating lust destroys the heart and it devalues the object of the lust. On the question of divorce, Jesus tells the audience that if you want to put someone in an impossible situation, then you're going to be responsible for what happens. No blame. So considered in this way, we can begin to see that Jesus never came to abolish the law, but to get to the heart of the matter. Brothers and sisters, fulfillment of the law is simply a question of love. My father's concern for me when I was 16 years old had nothing to do with his insurance liabilities. He just loved me and wanted me to live a long, healthy, happy life. It can't possibly be different with the God that we call Father.